Good morning, everybody. It's great to be with you here this morning as we celebrate this day of Pentecost. We're reminded of the disciples under instruction from Jesus to remain in that place until the Holy Spirit comes upon them. And it says, and we'll hear more of this, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. That was over nearly 2,000 years ago. But yet here we are today still celebrating because we are together in one place. And even those that join us at home, we give you a warm welcome. We gather together, whether scattered or here. We gather in the presence and in the name of Jesus Christ. May Holy Spirit fall afresh upon us this morning. We're going to stand, we're going to be singing songs, we're going to be praying. So Suzanne, would you lead us in that as we gather and as we praise God's holy name this morning. Come, fall afresh, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Just going to read from Genesis 1, verse 1 and 2 to start off with. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Father God, we thank you for bringing us here today on this Pentecost Sunday. And we thank you that we can meet together freely to praise you. We remember and celebrate your Spirit being empowered upon your church. Please speak to us this morning through your word, through your message, and through the songs that we sing to you. May we feel you close to us. May we understand more fully the great love that you have for us. We thank you for all you have made and all that you have done for us. Amen. We thank you, God, for all that you've created for us to enjoy. We thank you for your universe, for the stars, for all the animals and birds. We often take for granted your creation, but we just want to pause and to quietly thank you for all you've done. Thank you, Father. We thank you that you love us and care for each and every one of us. We thank you that you are there through the good and bad times. We thank you for sending Jesus to live, to teach, to die, and to rise again for us so that we can have a relationship with you. Please forgive us for the times when we've sinned and help us to become more like you day by day. We remember how in Acts 2 you sent your Holy Spirit to a group of people who were meeting there, how suddenly a sound like the blowing of violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole place. Holy Spirit, we welcome you here amongst us now. Come, Holy Spirit. Please feel free to sit or stand as we sing the next song. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Move amongst us with holy fire as we lay aside all earthly desires. Hands reach out and our hearts aspire. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, we welcome you.
Everybody, it's a real pleasure to be able to say a welcome to everyone who's joined us this morning, and of course those of you who are watching on YouTube. A lovely sunny morning, Pentecost Sunday. It's always that special time when we're expectant of the Holy Spirit, if you like. So we just want to grab hold of everything that the Lord's got for us this morning, don't we? And an extra special welcome to Nike and Ade, who have joined us this morning. Nike is going to be speaking to us shortly, so we do look forward to what you've got to say later. So just a few notices for the week then. Prayer and meditation tomorrow morning at 9:30 via Zoom. There'll be no art play group this week and no prayer walk, so they will start up again next week. But we're having the lunch club on Thursday between 12 and 2 o'clock, and a prayer meeting next Saturday down here at church at 9:30. Just an advance notice, the following Saturday the 10th, it will be the men's breakfast. It comes round really quick, doesn't it? It seems 5 minutes since the last one. So that's all the notices for this week, really. To say that the newsletters are out. I'm sure most of you will have picked one up on your way in. Please do take them for any friends, family that you think might not like to read them. Website, Facebook page are also regularly updated. Thank you very much again to Janet and Chris for all the work that they do in this area. It really is appreciated. I have a card here from Mark. Now, I'm going to say Mark Herring for the simple reason that there are two Marks here this morning and we don't want to get mixed up, do we? So he's asked me to read out a card to everyone this morning. And he starts with, friends, brothers and sisters in Christ. As you know, I've had a period of time off work and I've had time to ponder and reassess my home life and my Christian life. During this time, I've attended Swanless Baptist Church to worship on many occasions, and so much love and many prayers have been passed on to me, and you are all in my heart. Now, I would just like to mention two special people in particular, George and Pauline. A couple of weeks ago, they renewed their vows, as I'm sure many of us were here to celebrate that with them. And someone said how valuable they were to the church, which is perfectly true. And Mark just wants to say how valuable they are to him as well, and that they have been his rock in these last few weeks. So thank you, George and Pauline, and all the rest of my brothers and sisters in Christ at Swellness Baptist Church. God bless you all. I'll put the card at the back there if anyone wants to have another read at it later. Right, Junior Church, if you would like to go with the lovely Jan, please. Just before Nike comes up to speak, I've just got some verses of scripture to read. Very familiar to many of us, I think. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 11, then Acts chapter 2, 1 to 8. In the Bibles that you've got under your seat, it's page 909. The promise of the Holy Spirit. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day that he was taken up after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It's not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon us, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." And then Acts 2:1-8. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men of every nation under heaven. And at this sound, a multitude came together. And they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. They were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us that each of us hear in our own native language.
Well, just as Nike comes up to read to us from that, I just want to invite Nike, come on up. It's an honour and privilege to have you with us today, and Adi as well. Nike and I think our paths crossed about maybe 5 years ago. We were doing NAMS together in Manchester. Seems like yesterday sometimes. But yeah, how time flies. But you're regional minister here in YBA, and particularly South Yorkshire and part of West Yorkshire as well, aren't you? And Nike, you're going to give us an update and some news from YBA? So that'd be great. So just before you do that, can we just pray?
Yes,
pray
I'd
with
love
you.
That. Thank you.
Yeah. Father God, we just thank you for our dear sister Nike and her husband Adi here today with us, Lord. We thank you that you just would speak mightily through her, Lord. Bring your word to us through her, Lord. Will you just speak directly into our hearts that it will not only revitalize us and energize us, but transform us as well, that we know we are being encountering with the risen Lord Jesus Christ this morning on this day of Pentecost. So come, Holy Spirit, fill Nike, anoint her with your word, Lord, and anoint us as we hear of what it is you're saying to us today. Amen.
Amen.
Bless
Amen.
You.
Thank you. Thank you, David. Just sharing a little bit of news of the wider family that we're all part of. Sometimes I think as the church, we can forget that we're part of something bigger than Swallow Nest. And actually that even the Yorkshire Baptist Association is part of something bigger than Yorkshire, because we're part of the Baptist Union of Great Britain. And sometimes we can forget that we're part of something even bigger, which is the worldwide community of Jesus lovers and Jesus followers. And sometimes we can even forget that we're something bigger than that, because we're part of the innumerable company of people who have gone on before and who may come after us if Jesus tarries, who are this company of the redeemed that is seen in the book of Revelations. So it's always important for us to remember that we're not just those of us in this room, we're part of something bigger. So I want to bring you a little bit of news from your sisters and brothers across the Yorkshire Baptist. I wish I could tell you about lots of the different churches I've been to and visited. There will not be enough time to do that. But I do want to share with you what's happening in the hub of this our wonderful family of churches right across Yorkshire. There are about 100 churches that form part of Yorkshire Baptist Association, which is wonderful when you think about it, that it's we are just 1% of the number of churches that make up the YBA. So I want to share with you a little bit about that this morning. Next slide, please. Fantastic. So this is what the YBA, the context in which the YBA is operating as we speak. It's a context in which many churches, many denominations in the UK are operating. It's this thing about declining churches, declining membership, declining church attendance. I don't know if many of you picked that up when the results from the numbers from the statistics from the Office of National Statistics came, from the census figures. It was there that the number of people who now say that they're Christians in the UK is lower than 50%. And that's the first time it's ever gone below that number. And many Christians took that with a heavy heart. But you can flip that around, like the person who was sent. Have you heard the story of the person who was sent as a salesman to go and sell shoes? And when they got to this village, this little backwater of a village, they sent a message back and said, "You've sent me to the wrong place. Nobody wears shoes here." But if you get the message, that means that everybody, there's a potential for sales of shoes because nobody wears shoes. If you did your work right, you might then find that lots of the people who live in that place may buy your shoes. So we can flip this thing round about there are not that many. It's less than 50% of people who claim that they're Christians. Well, that means we've got more than 50% of people to share the good news of Jesus with. How about that? How about that? So that's it. And in that fray, that backdrop, Yorkshire has the least church attendance in the UK. That can be sobering, and I think there's an element of this that needs to sober us. and make us so sober that we get on our knees before God and pray for a change. But also there is that thing about we can hold it with great sorrow, or we can turn it around and say, God, thank you that you've got work for us to do. So that's a backdrop against which we, you and I, and all the remaining 99 churches within the YBA are operating, that there is work for us to do. So that's the thing. God has not finished with us yet. God hasn't finished with us yet, because Jesus has not finished with his church yet. And because he is our master, he is our Lord, is the one who sent us, we do know that he hasn't finished with us yet. The Great Commission, and Jesus said, didn't he, that go and preach this good news to all creation. And because he's sent us, therefore we have great confidence. And the confidence we have in him is this. He says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell, the gates of Hades, will not prevail against us. That's our great confidence that he's given us for the Great Commission that he's called us to. And that means that by his grace, we are determined that this news will not hold us back. It will propel us forward into what God has called us to, which is to lead into a renewed focus to reignite God's passion, God's mission among us all. Next slide, please. So this is what we're committed to. We're committed to making disciples through multiplying healthy churches across Yorkshire. You know, many people think that this is it. The number of churches we have now can only decline, but we're saying no to that. We're saying that by the grace of God, healthy churches plant healthy churches. Can I just share with you a statistic? 80% of churches that see growth in the UK are churches that have been newly planted. Can I just say that again? 80% of churches that see growth in the UK are churches that have been newly planted. And we need to hear that word about planting in the very widest sense of what planting might mean. Planting might mean something like where we're gathered today. But planting might also mean meeting up in small groups, in small places, like your home, of people who may not come to church now, because over 50% of people in the UK will not come to church. Do not come to church. But they may come to your home because you're their friend and they trust you. And when you share with them and you witness and you share the word of God with them, they will listen to you. Sorry, David, they don't mean you any harm, but they may not want to listen to you because they don't know you from Adam. But they know Carol, they know all the other people in this room, and they will want to come to you because they know you and they trust you. So when we are beginning to think about church, we're talking about reimagining what church can be like. And I want us all to hear this, because David cannot do this on his own. None of the people in this room can do this on their own. We all have to have all hands on deck. Every one of us on this wonderful Pentecost day can remember that we are called and we are also anointed and we are also sent. So it is about multiplying healthy churches with that wide, this is not me preaching, this is me sharing, but I can't help myself right now. I need to preach this to you. That, you know, when Jesus started this thing called the church, what was it like? Did they have a building called Swallowness Baptist Church? No, they didn't. But did the church grow? Yes, it did. And where did they meet in the main? Where was it? House to house. Goodness me, you can preach this sermon too. They met house to house, and yet they grew. And yes, of course, it's wonderful to have a place like this where we can gather. This is only a building. The people in this room, we are the church. And wherever we are, church can be. So remember that in all this thinking and grappling, and I know you're going to be doing that soon. You're going to be meeting together and thinking, Lord, what is next for us as a church? Remember that every single one of us in this place today is called, is empowered, and is sent. So that's what we're about. And to make that happen, next slide, please. These are some of the things that we're doing. We've developed six priorities, And the lead priority is planting, revitalizing, and reimagining church. Those are the three things we're thinking of all the time. Yes, we love Jesus. Jesus has sent us on this message, and we want to obey him because that's what he's called us to, plant, to revitalize, and to reimagine what church can be like. And so the YBA has, in the last year and a bit, expanded the staff team, and that's one of the reasons why people like me were appointed. We now have, and you'll see that on the next slide, we now have four regional ministers. They're not all full-time. There's a part-time one among us, so 3.5 regional ministers doing this work of thinking about how we plant, how we revitalize, and how we reimagine church. And again, the finances of the YBA has been turned into meeting that need, into making sure that we have people who can help us plant, revitalize, and reimagine church. Next slide, please. So these are the other priorities that we have. We're thinking about leadership development, and that means every one of us learning how to be leaders. We are all, every person in this room leads someone. Everyone in this room leads someone. It might be members of your family, it might be your children. Everyone leads, it might be at work. Everyone is a leader here. We want to help people learn what that means. We also want to develop a pipeline. And we say younger missional leaders. I mean, anybody is younger than someone. But we're particularly also thinking about the young people, because as we all go around, and you know, it's one of my privileges that I have, is to travel around and visit many, many of our churches. One thing we notice is that the average age of our churches is rising. The average age is rising. And every time there's a younger person in the church, it's fantastic, because it means that we have someone else to pass on this wonderful news of the gospel to, and this wonderful gathering of God's people. So that's an encouragement for us. Wherever young people are, we want to identify them. Sorry, can I rephrase that? Wherever younger people are, we want to identify them. I want to encourage them in the work of the ministry. So we're looking at developing younger missional leaders. We want to create new pathways into missional ministry. Sometimes missional ministry is really hard to get into because there's a lot of academic stuff in it. But who were the first people who Jesus called? Fishermen. You remember them? Yeah, fishermen were made a huge... He himself was a carpenter slash builder. And yet, when you look in the church now, you look at people who are leading churches, you don't find many fishermen. You don't find many carpenters. What you find is people who have gone to Vickers factory and had been... Do you know what I mean? That's what you find. And the encouragement for all of us is we can all be part of this missional ministry. You don't have to have a degree. We're looking for ways to make that happen among us. We also want to promote justice and encourage diversity. And again, that's one of the things we, as again, I travel around my patch in South Yorkshire and Huddersfield. I'm amazed at the increasing diversity that I find in places I least expect to find. I enter some churches and a third of the church might be Iranian community, a third from other nations of the world, and then a third from white British society here, community here in the UK. The church is changing. The church is diversifying. And we want to learn how to show the world. That's the key thing. We want to show the world that they can learn from us how to be a people from different nations, tribe, tongue, and people, and yet love each other passionately. The world doesn't do that, but they can look at the church and see how that is done in the church. Because as you well know, in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, it says, before the throne of God, there are people from every tribe, tongue, nation, and people. So we get a chance to learn how to do that well. And the final thing is supporting digital development. And again, a big shout out to you guys at the back. Thank you for all that you do. But there's a world out there that's so alive and well, and it's the digital space, and it's getting more complex every day. Has anybody tried ChatGPT yet? That's an example. See, I could have done my sermon this morning by just typing Pentecost sermon on ChatGPT, and it'll provide me a sermon. That's how fast things are moving in this digital space. By the way, I didn't do that, so a bit of phew from all of you. I didn't do that. But that's how fast things are moving. Artificial intelligence and the digital age colliding and giving birth to this thing. And we want the Church of Jesus to be represented in that space as well. Because before things get on your screen, on your television, it's already out there in that space. Many of us are not familiar with that. But there are lots of young people, that's where they live. And we want to be people who join them there and share who Jesus is with them. And I'm just going to show you a few people who you might meet. And that's a picture of me there. But some of you may know Kez Robinson. She's been part of the YBA team for many years and has now become a regional minister. I think that was probably sometime like March last year. And that's somebody else who's standing in front of you now who joined that team in September. And then we've got Alex Harris, who has been asked specifically to be responsible for planting and pioneering. So if there's any one of you here who's thinking, I'm just thinking maybe the Holy Spirit is leading me to something different, I'm not quite sure what this will look like, do please talk to David, and I'm sure David will talk to Alex, and Alex can connect you with what would this look like if it's not like what we normally think of as church, what may be pioneering. There's some wonderful stories in our DNA as Yorkshire Baptist Association of Churches that were started in pubs. I'm not talking about what's happening now, I'm talking about historically, churches started in pubs. We must not be frightened to go where people are. Because wherever they are, that's where Jesus says, go. He didn't say, tell them to come. Of course, we can keep telling people to come. There's nothing wrong with that. But what he's asked us to do is to go. Thank you. The next slide. And these are two people, again, that have come on. Well, Jodie, you might all know. Some of you know Jodie really well. Jodie is not new. That's why I've called her existing. She heads up. She helps us to lead out with our children, youth and family work. But then we've also appointed Naomi Fennell, who is our young adult lead. And again, even if there's only three young adults in this church, please connect with Jodie, with Naomi. She'd love to connect you up with other young adults, because by that there will be a kind of sense of, I'm not the only one. There are more than me, three, four, five of us across the YBA who are young adults in our churches. That's our encouragement to you. Okay. Is that all? I think that might be. Okay, fine. So all of this, and that's the last slide, all of this is undergirded with prayer, because none of us can do this task unless we fall on our knees first. We have to be people who fall on our knees in order for us to stand tall before God. We need to be that. And this is some of what we're doing. You know, Jesus himself said to us, didn't he, that without me, you can do nothing. And this is some of what we do as a YBA staff team. We pray together every week. You find us praying together on a Monday afternoon at lunch, at 12. We meet and we pray together online. What we also do is that once a week we invite one church leader. I believe you've joined us, yes. So we invite one church leader to come and join us for half an hour. We hear a little bit about what's going on in the church, and then we pray. But we don't just pray on that Wednesday afternoon, Wednesday morning at 9. We then send the prayer request out to maybe some of our colleagues who couldn't be at the meet at the prayer time, and we commit to pray for that minister for the following week. And then finally, one of the other things we do is that we fast and pray together as a staff team once a month. If you want to join with us, just come and ask me. I'll be really delighted, because I really feel that this can snowball beyond us as a team, so that we can begin to think about ways of connecting people within our YBA into this prayer thing. We want to pray to see God move. And then finally, today is the last day. Some of you would have been joining with Stop and Pray for Yorkshire. Today's the last day for that. 50 days of prayer has gone on across the YBA as we have prayed on different days for different things. And today we're praying, Holy Spirit, come and fill us up and set us on fire. I hope that's a bit of a whistle-stop tour of what's happening within the YBA, and I hope that encourages you today to just get a feel for what's going on around the YBA. Is that all right? Has that been helpful? Please say yes. Fab. So, after having heard all that, and that was not my preach, I promise you that wasn't my preach, but it is super connected with what I want to share with you today. Today I want to talk to you about 10 days that changed the world. Not one day, but the 10 days that changed the world. This is a very special season in the church calendar. In our readings today, we spanned both those days. We spanned the ascension of Jesus, which is a date that the church celebrates the Thursday before last Sunday. That Thursday, 10 days ago, Jesus ascended into heaven. And we don't often, I think, remember how significant that day is for us as Christians. What that day does is that it symbolizes the time when Jesus thought, yes, my mission on earth is accomplished. Not only did I die, I was crucified. Not only was I raised from the dead, never to die again, because obviously there are other people who are raised from the dead. I hope you know that. Even in this day and age, there are people who are raised from the dead. I don't have time to tell you the story, but there's a guy in Rotherham, a Christian, who was raised from the dead. I don't know if he's died yet, but one day will come, and I don't wish him ill, but even when he's 120, one day will come when he will die. All those who have been raised from the dead will die again. But Jesus is the only one who was raised from the dead, never to die again. We celebrate that because there is no one else in history that's like that. And on that day, on that ascension day, Jesus knew that he had fulfilled his task, that his mission here on earth was complete. And so we know that that ascension happened. And before he did that, he promised the disciples who were gathered there, he says that I will send the Holy Spirit. He'd been telling them that. John 15, John 16, lots of times it said, I will send you the promise of the Holy Spirit. But on that day again, he reminded them that he was going to send them the Holy Spirit. That was in Acts chapter 1, verse 5. And then he said to them, I want you to do one thing, to wait in Jerusalem. Don't leave Jerusalem. Wait in Jerusalem. And he says, when you wait there, what will happen is that the Holy Spirit will come. He didn't tell them when. He just said, wait for the promise of the Father. The Holy Spirit will come. And that when the Holy Spirit comes, he says in verse 8, you will be my witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost ends of the earth. So now Jesus is ascended to heaven, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And scripture says he ever lives to make intercessions for us. As we're sat here this morning, there is someone at the right hand of majesty interceding for you and for me. He's interceding for you and for me. Jesus is not distant from us. He lives to intercede for us right now. He's there. So this morning I want to talk to us about this 10 days that changed the world. 10 days that changed the world completely. Because from that day, something happened. From that day after Jesus ascended to heaven, something happened. And I want to kind of take us to the dialogue that happened when Jesus was talking to them. Jesus said, you wait in Jerusalem. Wait, and I will send you the Holy Spirit. And there was something that they said to him. They said, does it mean that you, on that day, that Pentecost day, will restore the kingdom to Israel? But if you look a few verses before, what Jesus had actually said to them was that what the scripture had recorded was that Jesus, when he was up between his resurrection and his ascension had gone round his disciples. 11 recordings of Jesus appearing and talking to his disciples. And scripture says what he was doing in every time he appeared to them was talking to them about the kingdom of God. They'd heard Jesus talk to them about the kingdom of God, and what they asked Jesus was about the kingdom of Israel. Do you see that? Do you see that those two are not the same? The kingdom of Israel that they were thinking, Lord, would you at that time restore the kingdom to Israel? And all that time, Jesus had never mentioned the kingdom of Israel. He had always talked to them about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the rule and the reign of God. And yet they were talking about the kingdom of Israel. I have to say, that reminds me of myself sometimes. Because Jesus is inviting me into the rule and the reign of God's kingdom. And oftentimes, my mind is focused on my own kingdom. What I will eat. What I will wear. What I will do. Where I will go on holiday. Where I work. My family. My stuff. Whereas God's invitation to us is, I want you to be concerned about the kingdom of heaven. But our concerns, sadly, are often about our kingdom. Our kingdom. Jesus, the word of God in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17 says this, do not love the world, neither the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. I love how the Message translation puts this. It says, love of the world squeezes out love for the Father. Where our attention and our focus is upon ourselves and the world, it squeezes out the love of the Father in us. It focuses, it shifts our attention on ourselves instead of our attention to be on God. So the first thing I want you to remember today as I share with you the standards, and I'm only going to share with you actually three things I think change the world. The first thing is the invitation to refocus. To refocus. Yes, God gives us so many good things to enjoy. Our Father is not Scrooge. He loves us. He gives us great things to enjoy. Family, friends, jobs, neighbors, a wonderful church family. Look at Mark, honoring the church family here for all the support you've given him. He gives us all of these things to enjoy, but sadly, sometimes those things become our focus rather than the kingdom of God, the rule and the reign of God. Scripture says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And Jesus' warning is that don't make those things your priority, because that is what the heathen, those who don't know Jesus, those who don't love him, that's what they seek after. But the invitation, the command he gives to us is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he says, all these things will be added to you. My question for us this morning is, what is your focus? Are you like the disciples whose focus was not on the kingdom of God that Jesus spent 40 days talking to them about? Their focus was on the kingdom of Israel. Pentecost Sunday is when we think about that date, we think about when it happened. 50 days after the crucifixion was when Pentecost happened. The crucifixion happened at the Passover, and the Holy Spirit came on Pentecost Sunday, 50 days in between Pentecost. So we know it's 50 days. But there's something else that we might have missed about the day of Pentecost. Why God in his sovereignty chose that day to release the Holy Spirit upon his disciples. We might miss this. Pentecost was also the Jewish celebration of harvest. It was one of the three pilgrim festivals where all the devout Jews will travel to Jerusalem from wherever they were. And that's why actually when we read the account on the day of Pentecost, I think it might be verse 4 or 5, it says there were devout Jews from all over, every nation under heaven, it says, who traveled to Jerusalem for Pentecost celebration, because that was one of the three pilgrim festivals. And God, in his wonderful sovereignty, chose that day, a harvest festival, for the Spirit of God to fall upon the church. And then what happened on that day? There was a harvest of souls. 3,000 people were harvested into the kingdom. That is a great reminder for us as we refocus that part of what Pentecost Sunday is about. Yes, it's about us being filled with the Holy Spirit, but we're filled to serve. We're filled for a purpose. We're filled for a harvest. We're filled for a harvest. And every one of us, as we seek the infilling of the Holy Spirit again today, to remind ourselves that we're not just filled. And I heard that prayer. I can't remember whether you prayed it here when we were praying together, David. You said about the Holy Spirit, us praying not just for the Holy Spirit to thrill us, but to fill us. Not just to thrill us, but to fill us. And we're filled to serve. And again, my invitation to us this morning, as we think about refocusing our minds from just seeking our own things, seeking our own kingdom, is to remember that the Holy Spirit wants to come and fill us anew and afresh today on Pentecost Sunday, so that we can be part of bringing in the harvest. Amen. Second thing I want to encourage us with this morning, apart from the refocus, is to remember something that Jesus said to them. And again, we might miss this. When Jesus talked to them about the coming of the Holy Spirit, he said to them, I want you to wait in Jerusalem, to wait in Jerusalem. And so we've talked about refocusing. I want to talk to us about remaining, waiting together. And that's an important thing. You wonder, because Jesus could have just said, I'm going now. And the cloud comes and takes him. And he says, and I want you now, just go back into the city and the Holy Spirit will come. Why did he say for them to wait? Have you ever pondered that? Why did Jesus say wait in Jerusalem? And I believe that there's something about the waiting that we need to think about. First of all, you remember that in Acts chapter 2, it says they were together, verse 1. They were together in one place. They were together in that upper room. I love the King James translation. That's a very, very ancient translation. It says they were together with one accord. And I know you've been doing a series on unity because I've tried to catch up with some of what you're doing online. You've been doing that series. I think you rounded that up last Sunday. Yeah, so I listened to the sermon last Sunday. Great sermon, David. Well done. So I listened to that. And the thing about unity, the thing is that they were together in one accord. They were united. The Holy Spirit came. And I want you to remember that these were not a group of people that were naturally united. You only have to read the Gospels to read that. Oftentimes you will find wonderful Peter. I love to talk about him as foot in mouth. You know, he always seemed to have his foot in his mouth. He would always say the most inappropriate things before the day of Pentecost. But I have to say something changed in Peter's life after that day of Pentecost. So there was Peter there. You know, there was all sorts of, there would be James and John who always thought that they had the privilege and the right, and their mother came. Could one, either of them, please sit on either side of you, Jesus, when you come in your glory? I want to imagine what that would have felt like for the other disciples as they heard that. You know, like, what? You know, we have all been following Jesus, and your mum wants you to be on the left and to the right. What about the rest of us? You know, so there were not a group of people who had it all stitched up and sewn up together. No, there were a group of people amongst whom there was quite some discord. And of course, we know what happened at the crucifixion. We know that on that day when Jesus was crucified, all of them ran away. Peter denied Jesus. The remaining, I'm trying to do my maths now, the remaining 10, because Judas wasn't there, ran away. There was only John there that waited and stood with Jesus. So this was, and there was all sorts of things that had happened in the meantime. In the meantime, some of them had said, oh, shall we go fishing? And some of them had decided to go fishing, some hadn't. Imagine if Jesus had just left them all to go their separate ways. I don't think we'll have what we have now. Because some of them would have gone back to Galilee, some would have gone to different places where they were from, you know, Nathanael, you know, all sorts of places where they were from, they would have gone back. But Jesus said, wait. And the waiting, I believe, was very important. I believe it was in that time where they waited together that maybe somebody walked across the aisle and said, I'm really sorry for that time that such and such a thing happened. Because they had time to think. Time to be with God, time to be with each other, time to reconnect with one another again. I also think that would have been time for some of them to be healed of the trauma that they had just experienced. Make no bones about it, the crucifixion was very traumatic for the disciples. They had pinned their hopes on Jesus. You remember, even when Jesus had come, had been raised from the dead, and Jesus was now had spent 40 days talking with them, they still were talking about Kingdom of Israel. So they had pinned their hopes. You remember the two disciples on the road to Emmaus? You know, they were saying, oh, we had rather hoped that he would be the one that would restore the kingdom to Israel. So their thinking and the thinking of Jesus after 3.5 years was not the same. How traumatic it must have been for them to watch before their very eyes, before they legged it, by the way, to see that Jesus was crucified. It was traumatic. I believe the waiting time was also a time for them to wait prayerfully to maybe begin the healing process for their trauma. I want to commend waiting to us as children of God. In this generation, in this space and time, in this season where everything is fast-paced, if it can be done yesterday, nobody wants to wait. If you were trying to call someone, how long will you wait before you start to kind of fidget and think, they're not picking the call, they're not picking the call? Everything is that we want it done now. But the Lord said to them, wait in Jerusalem. How are you? And that is a communal waiting. They waited together. I want to commend to you, as you begin this season of what's God calling us to, I want you to remember your voice needs to be part of that process. You need to wait. You need to be part of the waiting on God to hear what God is saying, because you matter. Jesus didn't just say to a few of them, go and wait in Jerusalem. We know that by the time they were together in Acts chapter 2, there were 120 of them. They knew that they mattered. Please don't put yourself outside of the process of the waiting. Put yourself as part of that process. As Baptists, we together want to discern the mind of Christ for us. And that's what God's calling us to. That time of waiting was also a time of prayer. Because it says in scripture that's what they were doing. And I love the fact that you meet to pray. You're meeting to pray on Saturday. And it's a regular thing you do. Be part of that. Because that's part of the waiting, part of the hearing God. As you together as a body do that. As we saw, you saw on the slide there, that we prioritize prayer. And you prioritize prayer. But all of us need to be part of that. Please make every effort to be part of the gathering of God's people when it's time to pray. So they waited. They used that time to assess their situation. It was in the waiting that they kind of figured out, oh, we're one down as apostles now. And then they remembered scripture And because they remember the scripture that said someone else would take the place of the person who betrayed Jesus, they then prayerfully cast lot and appointed Matthias as the 12th apostle. Can you see that? It was in that space of waiting that all those things happen. I want to encourage us to be people in our own personal prayer time, people who don't just talk at God, but wait and let the Holy Spirit speak to us. You'll be amazed at what God says to you when you create the space and time to wait on him. One of the things that Adi and I have done as our kids were growing up, we spent time, I can't remember how often we did this, I think it was once every 6 months, we would take time out to just wait and ask God and reflect about our children, where they're at, what might God be saying. Some of you can do that by your grandchildren, your children, if you have young kids. Do that for yourself. It's one of the things I do. I love to go on retreat as well, because that's space for me to wait. And don't say, oh no, I can't do that. Everyone can go on retreat. Everyone can do it. You can do it in your own home. Just have a day where you switch all the gadgets off. You're not answering anybody's call. And you wait, you retreat into that space, you worship God, you read scripture, you wait for him to speak to you, you journal, you write down what he might be saying to you, you figure out what might God say is the next step for you in your life. All of us can do it. Even if you're a single parent, you can do that too. Just think about someone else who could come and mind the kids for you while you do that. And then when they're going to have their retreat, yours might not be a full day. You might have to do like half a day or 3 hours or 2 hours. You can swap with someone else. All of us can make time to wait on the Lord. And scripture says, as we love to quote from the book of Isaiah, they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. And some of us run and are weary. We walk and are faint because we haven't taken time to wait on the Lord. So refocus, remain, or wait. Slow down. Slow down from this fast-paced life and develop rhythms that help us to wait on the Lord. The final thing I want to just talk to us about from this scripture is reach. So we've talked about refocusing, remaining. I want to talk to us about reach. The Holy Spirit came on them. You remember I shared with us that that was so that they can be part of the harvest. And I just want to, that scripture, that map is up there now. Jesus said to them, didn't he? He said, go and be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost ends of the earth. And I just want you to look at that map. Any self-respecting Jew who wanted to go across to Galilee from Judea will not go through Samaria, will cross, first of all, the Jordan, and then walk alongside on the opposite side. And then when they're near Galilee, we'll cross over again. That journey normally took 3 days, but because they didn't want to go through Samaritan region, it doubled their journey time. But they would rather double their journey time than walk through Samaria. I want to tell you this because I want you to recognize that when Jesus gave that command to his disciples to wait and say that you will be my witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost end of the earth, it would not have been lost on the disciples that Jesus was inviting them to go and preach the good news in a place where they would normally not go. It's really important that we hear that, because as we remember that we are called, we are filled to go and reach other people, to be part of bringing in the harvest, we must remember that Jesus didn't tell us to only go to our Jerusalem. He didn't just tell us to go to our Samaria, to our Judea. He told us to go also to our Samaria, to that place where it feels slightly more challenging for you. Only you will know what that place is. In fact, only you might know who that person might be. Because sometimes That could be a person. That person that really rubs you off the wrong way. And Jesus is reminding you today that might be part of your Samaria. Part of the place where we need to kneel first and pray that the Lord will change our hearts, as the Lord had to change their hearts before they will be seen, I want to say seen dead in Samaria, but literally they would not want to be seen dead in Samaria. But don't forget, Jesus also had given them an example, because he had taken them through Samaria. You remember where they met the Samaritan woman by the well? And in the end, a Jewish rabbi spent 3 days in a village in Samaria. You remember that? That would have completely blown their minds. And that is the invitation to us all today, that there will be places where maybe we've thought, ah, we can't take the gospel there. No Christian ever goes there. Jesus effectively is saying there is no-go area for us in terms of the gospel. Indeed, where the places where we think are places where we don't want to go, more so is the place where Jesus is saying, that's your Samaritan, that's your Samaria. That's the place I want you to include as part of where Jesus is calling you and calling me to. So, sisters and brothers, on this Pentecost Sunday, we are reminded that Jesus has called us to refocus, that our lives have been bought with a price, and we are to glorify God in our lives. We do not belong to ourselves anymore. We belong to Jesus. And that means that we're people who live a surrendered life. I'm doing what I'm doing today because I've surrendered to Jesus. It's not because it is an amazing thing that I longed to do and wanted to do and aimed for. It is simply as a result of surrender. Adi and I are in the UK today because we surrendered to Jesus. We're not here because this is where I wanted to live. I can tell you that. If you want to hear the story, ask me and I'll tell you. It's not that at all. It's because God wanted us to be here. We each have been called. We have been bought with a price. You no longer belong to yourself. You belong to Jesus. We need to refocus. And on this Pentecost Sunday, as we pray, Holy Spirit, come and fill us again. It's not just for us. It's not about thrilling us. It's about filling us for others. And he's called us to wait, to remain, to learn, to have a rhythm of waiting, of remaining with him, so that we can hear afresh what he's saying to us. We can hear afresh where he might be sending us. We can hear afresh what needs to change in us, like changed in them. He's calling us on this day also to be a people who will remember that he has called us to go somewhere else. He has called us to go somewhere else and to be a people who reach out to the people who we least expect that he may call us to. And I pray that these words today will strike a chord in our hearts and our lives as we go into this season, as you go into this season as a church of beginning to work out, God, what are you calling us to? Right now, we need to be a surrendered people. We need to be a waiting people. And we need to be a people who never rule anybody or anything out. Shall we pray? Holy Spirit, we thank you. We thank you that you came upon your church, your body, on that first Pentecost Sunday. We're gathered here in Swollenness, part of the worldwide body of Christ. We bring ourselves to you today. Can I invite you to pray personally? What has God spoken to you today? What has he said to you that you know is the word of God to you today, the Rhema word of God to you today? Would you bring that to the Lord right now?
Father God, we ask that you will help us in this coming season to lay hold of the things that you've spoken to us today, to be people who prayerfully bring these things to you until they are worked deep into our lives, that they become part of who we are. People who know that they're about the kingdom of God, not about our own kingdom. People who learn the rhythm of waiting and remaining with you and with one another in your presence. People who know the call to reach out, particularly not to ignore the people that we may think are not like us. We ask you, God, would you help us on this Pentecost day? We remain in your presence now, inviting you to fill us afresh. Holy Spirit, would you come? Thank you. That scripture reminds us to be being filled with the Spirit of God, continually filled with your Spirit. And we invite you now, Holy Spirit, would you come and fill us afresh? As we sang earlier on this morning, that very apt song, come and fill us afresh. Holy Spirit, we welcome you again. Come. Thank you, Father God. We worship you and praise your holy name for your goodness that we sung about this morning. Thank you that you promised us in your word that if we ask you for a fish, you'll never give us a stone. You said, Lord, that if we ask for bread, you won't give us a stone. If we ask for fish, you won't give us a scorpion. Thank you that you said you will give the Holy Spirit to anyone who asks you. And as we've asked today, we know that you filled us. And we say, thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Draw our service to a close. Let us just remember what Nike has said to us for that timely message. And thank you, Nike, as you've shared that with us. May that speak into our lives as we go from here. For those that may feel that needed prayer with, maybe to be anointed with on this day of Pentecost, remembering of what we've heard, remembering of what we've sung, of where we draw back closer into that relationship with Christ Jesus. Come, speak to us, come see us, come be prayed with, come and be anointed. David's brought some oil with him this morning. If that's what you're wanting, prayer, and to be anointed in oil, then come forth and speak with us. Come and share. There's also that message that Malcolm's felt the Lord spoke to him this morning of gathering and waiting upon the Lord. There's an opportunity to do that Saturday for the prayer meeting. There's an opportunity to come and to wait upon the Lord and to hear what he's saying, not only into our lives individually, but collectively together as we fellowship with one another, as brothers and sisters united in Christ Jesus through Father, Son and Holy Spirit. So we pray as we go from here this day, Lord, speak into our hearts again. Renew us, refresh us, revitalize us and bring us to the point, Lord, where you will encounter with us so that we can be found in your missional path. Lord, as we've said so many times and we say again, fill, not frill. We don't want to go out happy and glad. That is part of it, of course, but we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, knowing, Lord, what it is that you call us to do. Lord, if it's a time and if it's a season of waiting, may we wait to where, Lord, you speak into our lives mightily and tell us where and when we go next. Lord, if it's to go and do, if it's to go and share, if it's to go and journey, reveal that to us, we pray. But Lord, may we be found in you. May you be found in and through us. And all God's people said, Amen. Thank you.